begins with the weekend preview. I do briefly in under 60 seconds, which I know when I'm talking, that's hard to believe. I do want to say that my faith in humanity has been mildly restored by the poll. We're not going to talk extensively about Aaron Rodgers on this program as it relates to this, but after the other poll that was put in the field, why do you think Rodgers played through a broken thumb on his throwing hand last season? Pure competitiveness, narcissism, insecure about love or other. 61.1% pure competitiveness. So that's encouraging to me. I feel a little bit better. 18.4% narcissism, 17.5% insecure about love. So still, there's about 40% of people that don't think it was just his competitiveness. So take that for what it's worth. Time now for the weekend preview.
This is a good weekend.
It is a good weekend. I agree.
There are a lot of good games on this weekend, especially if you're a college football fan. Badgers play tonight, clearing out the entire schedule on Saturday. Just sit back and enjoy some high-quality college football. You know the rules for the weekend preview. Five games on the weekend docket. Pick one that you are particularly interested in watching, and pick one that you don't really care if you get eyes on at all. Available to us to choose from this week, 19th-ranked Colorado, the Fighting Deion Sanders. Coach Prime heads up to Oregon to take on the 10th-ranked Ducks. Coach Prime versus Jason Wilde. Colorado, Oregon, Saturday at 2:30 on ABC and the ESPN app. Saturday night, two great games going on Saturday night. 6th-ranked Ohio State at 9th-ranked Notre Dame, 6:30 on NBC. It's a fun one in South Bend. 24th-ranked Iowa at 7th-ranked Penn State, 6:30 Saturday night on CBS. Big Ten and in primetime on NBC and CBS. I'm still getting used to that. There's other great college games, too. Those are just the ones that it shows. Then, Sunday, outside of the Packers window at noon, Bears at Chiefs, 325. America's Game of the Week on Fox. And then the Steelers and Raiders, Sunday Night Football on NBC. Tausch, of those five games, which one you want to make sure you catch? Which one don't you really care about?
Well, I'm excited because that night window that you just talked about on Saturday, the NFL, the games are kind of clunkers this week. You make a good argument that Green Bay and New Orleans might be one of the sexiest matchups, and I don't think it's that sexy of a matchup. So I want to see where Ohio State's at. You know, going into South Bend, if they can go and blow the doors off Notre Dame, I'll be concerned. And I'm also really intrigued by the Iowa-Penn State game. Iowa's beating up some teams. They're scoring a little bit more. They got a new quarterback. They got the whole offensive coordinator deal with their, you know, how many points he needs to score. That's intriguing.
That is so
but
crazy.
It's all for me. I'm intrigued to watch Ohio State and Notre Dame because we in the Big Ten, it sucks, but the reality is we measure ourselves. Can we compete with Ohio State? I'll learn a lot more after watching Saturday's game if we can.
Yeah, Tausch is right. The game that I would watch is Colorado-Oregon, but I will be watching U13 soccer instead, which I'm fine with, by the way. Excited for Sid. She's got a big game coming on Saturday, so I'm looking forward to that.
Rivalry game? Big one?
They're all rivalry games. Intense rivalries within the classic conference.
Oh, boy.
Steelers-Raiders on Sunday Night Football. How's Davante Adams doing? It seems like it's been kind of a rough first couple of weeks for him. He got walloped in one game. He didn't get the ball much in another game. It has been a tough start for our old pal. And he enters this game with 12 catches for 150 yards through two games. That's a one-game stat line for him normally. So I want to see how he fares. We do miss him around here, and so I want to watch that game for sure. Jesse, what games do you care about?
Yeah, I really like the primetime Ohio State-Notre Dame game. That's one that I'm really excited to watch. The entire day of college football Saturday, if you were ever going to have a day where the Badgers don't play, you've got Clemson, Florida State, Ole Miss, Alabama, Colorado, Oregon, some other good ones sprinkled in there, in addition to the ones that we mentioned with Iowa, Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State at night. Like, it's going to be a great full day of college
Good weekend football. Of college football, yes. For sure.
You know who I watched the other, last weekend? I watched Graham Mertz in Florida.
Nice
and,
win?
And he played pretty well. Handed off a lot in the second half, but he played pretty well, so happy for my Bo Callahan.
Yeah, Mertz is doing good on the field and off the field. He's had a good run down there in Florida so far.
Well, off the field? What's he got going on off the field?
Just go take a look on Twitter
Google
or Instagram.
Him?
He's doing all right, yeah.
I will definitely do that.
NIL money flowing in pretty good.
I will do some Googling on that. One game that you included on that list, and I did want to talk about it briefly before we get the headlines. The Bears. Tausch, as we're watching all this stuff unfold, they have debunked or denied that the FBI came and raided Hallis Hall.
Pat McAfee said it happened. McAfee sourced pretty good in the FBI front. I don't know what the hell's going on down there, but I do know, I mentioned all offseason how psychologically it was such a big deal for Bears fans. You knew it. You saw it on Twitter. Talk to Chicago people. The relief they felt when Aaron Rodgers left the building. And if they didn't, with their program being farther along, supposedly, that if they didn't win that game, implosion was coming. I had no clue to this degree that it would implode, but I knew psychologically it was going to send the organization and its fans into a place where Sylvie was going to be like in a fetal position outside of Soldier Field.
Yes.
Crying.
Yes.
And now I don't think anybody anticipated them having FBI, allegedly, FBI raids, their D coordinator leaving. Their quarterback saying the coaching staff stinks and then coming back and saying, I didn't mean that. Anyone that thought that the Chicago Bears were in a better position than the Green Bay Packers have to relook at it and say, what was I thinking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 It's
watch them go in and beat City.
The Chiefs. That'd be something. Be a hell of a story. And, you know, I love a good story.
Just in reference, Jimmy Rutledge just texted me. McAfee said it was his house, not Hallis Hall, that this coordinator was talked with. So whether or not that's accurate or not either, allegedly, is going to be put behind it. But there's something there. The fact that nobody will actually put it out there, but everybody insinuates, there's some smoke. Whether or not it's a full-on fire, we don't know. Yeah. But it's a hot – regardless, it's a hot mess down in Chicago.
Indeed it is. Yeah, I love a good, allegedly, I love a good story, and I love AmFam and the great partnership that we have with them.
Yes, indeed, and Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants to give you and a friend a VIP experience at a football or Badger basketball game during the 2023 season. You and a friend receive pregame sideline or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of great merch to support your Badgers. Enter today at AmFam.com/Badgers. No purchase is necessary. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
Headlines and perhaps forfeiture. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
All I did was run, 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 run. Staring at the lights, they look so pretty. Mama said, son, 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 son. You're gonna grow up, you're gonna get old. All that glitter don't turn to gold. But until then, just have your fun. Boy, run, run, run.
I'm no quitter, so I'm not going to forfeit. But Tausch, I'm going to be honest with you. This used to be a lot more fun before you and the Academy. Just like this is like the facing the Bulls when they won 72 games. Now we're not in the same. I should be relegated with Wrexham or something. Or although I guess Wrexham moved up.
Or you could just up your game.
Maybe you could do all the work yourself instead of having the academy do so much of it for you. How's that sound?
You have your wife and you have two daughters. Piece together and start coming up with some stuff. Why not?
I'd rather complain and just surrender.
All right, fair enough.
Time now for headlines, presented by Fleet Farm. So, wait, before we start, let me just clarify.
Yeah.
We're always going to have the big finish. That's how we're going to do this. We're always going to lead into Tausch. Like, what about on a short week?
Yeah. No, we have plans in place.
Yeah, Tausch has to
go
last.
Okay, yeah, so we're definitely going last. All right. So.
Unless you call your shot and think that you actually put in a bunch of time, effort, and wanted to produce something and put it out, and you think you can compete,
I'm just going to go on the record. I'm going to go on the record and say this: there are 17 games this season. I want to see how many games does David Bakhtiari play, and do we get 17 different musically produced headlines from Tausch?
That's an interesting. I feel very confident that we'll have more musically produced songs than games started and finished by David Bakhtiari. I feel pretty confident saying that.
I kind of like that. I kind of like the way you turn that around. All right. Time now for headlines presented by Fleet Farm. And hey, Muskego! Even though Jesse is from there, we love Muskego. And Fleet Farm is here. The brand new store is now open in Muskego.
What a week. What a week for the Skeegs.
Come and find everything.
Did they find a game to play? Did they end up finding a team to play tonight?
I don't think so. I think Waukesha South just said we're out, and they'll say we'll take the bye and
bye
the
week.
Yeah, beat Maguanago, scare off the opponents. Fleet Farm opens, move up in the rankings. What a week.
Pretty good deal.
Awesome. Yeah, the players could just take the night off, head on over to Fleet Farm, and find everything they need for their everyday life, from pet supplies to fall yard care to hunting gear, automotive essentials. They do have a sporting goods department, too. You'll find everything in one place at Fleet Farm. Don't miss Fleet Farm's kids' pumpkin painting this Saturday. That's tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. The first 300 kids that come and paint a pumpkin with all their favorite colors to display this fall. Visit fleetfarm.com for more info. Fleet Farm, find everything you need for your everyday life at Fleet Farm. Time now for headlines.
We've buried the lead.
But it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, I've read the headlines.
It's time to predict this week's headlines.
It is time for headlines as the Packers get ready to face the New Orleans Saints on Sunday at Lambeau Field. I'll go first, get this out of the way. The Saints have said, baby, you can drive my car on offense, but can the Packers defense bury Jesse's favorite quarterback? If the unit can muster more resistance than it had against Bijan, then Packers fans could feel the love on both sides of the ball when the Saints go marching out of Lambeau Field with an L on Sunday.
That's pretty good. Anytime you can get Dijon and Bijan,
I know
in
you
a
love
headline
a loop
from last week and tying it all together, I give you, hey, good effort.
Oh,
you're
like
I
that.
Your effort was good.
You're like that coach that comes over for the post game handshake and says, "I thought your team played hard."
No, this week you put in some effort.
Sometimes
thought,
your team plays hard. Yeah.
All right, Jesse, what do you got?
Happy belated National Talk Like a Pirate Day!
Oh, no.
Are you ready for the Packers home opener? Derek Carr, wearing the old number of Brett Favre, keeps his ship on course for comeback player of the year. But after one crew hoists the Jolly Roger atop the NL Central Saturday in South Beach, the scallywags of the Seven Cheese plunder Captain Carr with a last-second kick by Anders Carlson. Green Bay 23, New Orleans 20.
You forced in your pirate voice.
But it worked.
And you did it brilliantly.
Can you believe we missed National Talk Like a Pirate Day earlier this week? What a miss.
No, I am surprised. No, I'm surprised that you, of all... I mean, I don't know anybody that loves pirates more than you.
I do love pirates.
So I am surprised.
All right. Those were the appetizers. Time now for the big porterhouse. Time now for headlines from the Academy.
All right. So knowing that I was going to be on the road for a couple days this week and out in West Lafayette for tonight's Purdue-Wisconsin game, the Academy, we're trying to get more people involved. It can't just be me singing 17 weeks. It's going to lose a little luster. So we decided with all of the Travis Kelce news and Taylor Swift being the star that she is, we have went down to the Elkhorn Delavan area where part of the Academy is at, and we went a little younger. We want to get some of the younger demo. So my niece is taking over. Jesse, roll the tape.
Jordan Love and I was throwing lasers, then the floor said, stay away from Lattimore. He was running down the sideline, begging me, please don't throw. And I said, Romeo, take me into the end zone. With this offense, we can either pass or run. You'll be the receiver, and I will throw the pass. It's Jordan Love. Sorry, Romeo, to say yes.
Wow!
All right. That is outstanding. Your niece crushed that as a Swiftie myself. Now I'm a convert. That is outstanding, fantastic, bravo,
Kaya. Kaya, so Pat's one of Pat's children. She's warmed up to me. She's always been a little hesitant of her uncle Old T, but she's warmed up, and I thought she delivered this well.
She crushed
and the lyrics were good. Lattimore. I think the Lattimore part, mm-hmm. and then obviously with Romeo Dobbs, yeah, she nailed it. I thought it was an outstanding job, and kudos to the Elkhorn Towshers. They delivered the goods this weekend.
Very good.
I agree with everything you said there. Now, after...
Criticize. You have to be critical.
No, I'm not critical of her at all. I loved it, and I do. I have really come around on Taylor Swift. The girls have converted me. I really enjoy her music. So kudos to the lyricist, to the performer. But I must ask one question. What the hell are you doing here exactly?
What do you mean?
You helped get it on the air? That's what you did for this? What role did you have in that outstanding production?
I delivered the goods to the
You gave Pat Jesse's email address so he could send the audio.
No. I didn't even do that. I grabbed
He already had Jesse's email.
And delivered it. No.
He's found it at ESPNWisconsinContest.com.
Yeah, that's a fair criticism, Jason, but it's, you know, head coaches.
Delivered the goods.
Listen,
Do
we not give Matt LaFleur grief when his handpicked coordinator doesn't deliver the goods? Had she stunk and been bad, I would be taking a bunch of heat. This is all part of the process.
You're not even LaFleur when the defense is on the field at Lambeau, raising your hand, trying to get the crowd involved.
Okay,
like, you didn't even do that.
All right, why don't you explain, what am I in this situation? Am I just a fan watching?
You're Uncle Tauschy. Uncle Mark.
Well.
It was, again, I want to be very clear. She was awesome. I just don't understand what you did.
I didn't do a lot.
Okay.
I did not do a lot.
All right, now we're all on the same page. Really good. Really, really, really good. I would argue that the first one for week one was such a bolt out of the blue that I don't know if it can ever be topped, just because of the surprise that those of us who were not in on the production felt. It was that, and it was brilliantly executed. I mean, it was outstanding. Week two, excellent too. Very good, but we kind of knew it was coming. It was a variation on week one. I would argue that this one, it beats out last week for sure, and it did have the surprise element of someone other than you. I think it's a close call between week one and week two. I really do. Okay. Or week one and week three. Fantastic. Okay. She was awesome. So please pass along our heartiest atta girls, because that was fantastic. And the lyrics were awesome, too, which I know you had nothing to do with. All right.
That's true. I
really enjoyed that. That was fantastic. All right. Those are our headlines presented by Fleet Farm. We do have another half hour of a show to do. You'd like to go out on top. Maybe Tausch is just going to leave, go for his walk around West Lafayette's residential neighborhoods.
Check out that museum.
Tippecanoe and Tyler, too. Yeah.
Indeed. No, we will do Whoa Nelly. That is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
I was short in love and I was throwing lasers. Then the floor said, stay away from Lattimore. He was running down the sideline, begging me, please don't throw. And I said, Romeo, take me into the end zone. With this offense, we can either pass or run. You'll be the receiver, and I will throw the pass. It's Jordan Love story, Romeo, to say yes.
Again, Kaya, congratulations. You crushed it. Your Uncle Mark did none of the work, and you deserve all of the glory for your headline. Well done. Bravo. Time now for Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Well, guys, those of you watching on the video stream can see I wore my Milwaukee Brewers 2018 NL Central Division Champions shirt, or maybe this is 2021, I don't remember. 21.
They've been to the playoffs a lot.
They win the division so much, it's hard to keep track of all the times that they win, because you know they just can't stop. Magic number is down to 2 for the Crew to clinch the NL Central. Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, any combination of Brewers wins or Cubs losses to the Colorado Rockies at Wrigley Field would result in the Brewers celebrating a division title in South Beach. Tausch, which day do they get it done?
What's the magic number at 2?
2. Yep. So Cubs play this afternoon.
Saturday. I think Saturday. Cubs will win. Brewers will win one of the next 2, and the Cubs will lose one of the next 2. I think Saturday night, South Beach, let it rip. Saturday night.
I think it's going to happen today.
They might. Mm. Just the way that this thing has escalated. Do it tonight. Party all night long. Everybody gets the day off tomorrow. Put all the backups in. Yep.
Hey, Tausch had a good question with Sophia when she was on earlier in the week, before you guys took to eviscerating her for her recency effect on the Mark Canna home run.
Greatest moment in Amfield history, I heard.
So, Tausch, are you still looking at matchups already, or are you holding off now?
No, I mean, once the Brewers have won on this run, you have to start looking at it. You know you're going to have to play. You're not going to get one of the 2 byes. So you're going to have to play somebody in that 3-game set. So who's it going to be? You don't really have that control, but you can hope. And I would think you still, even with the Cubs stinking the way you do, I think you want somebody a little further away. You don't want it to come back to the Cubs. Mm-hmm. So I think anybody but the Cubs, but if the Cubs are as bad as they are now, it's really hard to pull out of that at the end of the year. But I prefer somebody else.
I'm with you. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly.
Good luck to the Brewers whenever they do clinch the division this weekend. Hope the party is on in Miami.
What a season that was over in May. Incredible. Was it May?
When do we want to?
No, it was July-ish, I think.
The A's series was May. The Oakland A's were in May.
It was that long ago? May.
Yeah, that's how premature our boy was there. Yeah.
It was May. When do we want to do our dismembering of Dunzo the Clown?
I'm not on board with dismembering him, unless we're dismembering you.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Figuratively speaking, not literally. Like, I think we should.
Literal.
I think we should send. You know, we've got 620 WTMJ, the flagship of the Brewers. Mm-hmm. I think we should send somebody out there after they clinch the division. And I think we should collect players calling you an idiot. Jesse, this is for you. We proved you wrong, you idiot. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that, and play a montage of Brewers players telling you how disappointed George the Usher must be in you. I think they should all get to take their swings.
At Dunzo. Yeah, like a pinata.
No, you called in Dunzo. Don't blame it on an inanimate clown. You're the clown.
Whoa. It's a harsh 2 minutes for me.
But true.
Whoa, Nelly.
What have I said that was false? What lies were detective?
We used to play Flush It or Flesh It, presented by the Gordon Flesh Company on this show. Tausch. I want to know if you want to flush or flush the concept that has been floated this week as the Pac-12 continues to figure out what it's going to do. By the way, another great game on Saturday, college football, Oregon State, Washington State, the last two remaining Pac-12 teams as of next year. Top 25 games, 6 o'clock Saturday night. Add it to the list. A model has been considered for a promotion and relegation style two-tiered conference between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West. So you would have a couple of teams that each year are relegated down to the Mountain West Conference.
Oh, geez.
And then you have the top couple of teams who are elevated, promoted to the Pac-12 Conference. What do we think of it, Tausch? I kind of like it.
I love it. I wish that... So what I think, and we talked about this with Mac yesterday, I think what's going to happen is someone is going to take centralized control over the football side of college athletics. The other stuff is going to, I think, revert back and they're going to figure that out. You're going to see 50 to 60 teams, and then you're going to see 10 or 20 teams in that next tier. That there will be relegation. I like this idea on the whole because you have these programs. You need to stay in the top 45 in order not to get relegated. That shouldn't be that hard to do. If you stink and you have scandal, like Michigan State's going through, like Northwestern's going through, and you fall off and Connecticut or Oregon State pass you by, relegate, figure it out, get your butt back up there. You're still going to play. You're going to play other teams. You'll be the non-conference side of it. The idea of relegation, and when you watch the QPRs and some of the other teams over soccer teams, the amount of juice those relegation games get is much higher than if you go to like the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. It's so much higher because you're literal... your livelihood in that tier is at stake. That's motivation. And I think all sports fans love when their teams have that sense of desperation and there's something attached to it. It could be a game changer in college athletics. And I think it should happen. Doubtful that it will, but that should be part of whenever this committee gets together and they figure out how to break this thing off into that NFL style, which is what college football is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happens, I like this idea of having that next tier chasing to try to get in there.
So this is an intermediate period between what college football is ultimately going to look like and what it looked like when you played. Fair?
Yep.
How much do you dislike this intermediate period right now? I understand. I'm living in the hung up on a clown from the 60s, man. I hate the fact that Oregon is going to play in the Big Ten. I don't like it. I would have liked to have seen traditional conferences remain intact. That obviously is not happening. I give credit to the Big 12 because I thought they were also going to be donezo with the way things were moving, and they have survived. The ACC is trying to figure out a way to continue to exist. But I just hate this. We didn't talk about it with Chris McIntosh yesterday, but is this just not awkward right now for college football? They got two teams that are there, the only two teams left in a conference. Everybody else left. Hey, turn out the lights on your way out to the Mountain West, Oregon State. Who's, by the way, ranked in the top 20.
Washington State's up
there, too. Washington State is, it's awkward. It's not serving the interest of the student athlete, which I know everybody claims they want to be. And I think that's the part that, especially, Mac said the cost of flying people out and logistics, it could all be solved relatively easily. Someone needs to just take hold of a leadership spot, get all everybody on board, keep the financials as strong as they are. You could actually make the financials better if you do turn this into more geographical, more rivalry-based, and then have that big playoff at the end like the NFL does. And you're going to end up making a lot more money on it, which is what everybody wants to do. And then you could still go back to the other sports having similar things to what we've seen in the past. That, to me, is the best of both worlds, and I hope that's what they end up coming to.
All right, that's it for Whoa Nelly. Before we get to Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints, we need to revisit, Tausch, your love for Prize Picks and the more or fewer lines of demarcation, and Jesse has to pick a winner for trivia. Jesse, you pick your winner first, then we'll talk about Prize Picks.
This might be the most chips we've ever had in the cheese fry helmet. Only one chip didn't make it in.
Right. One correct answer shy of a perfect week.
Almost there. Sorry, Jeff and Monroe. This week's winner of Wilde and Tausch Trivia.
Whoa, Nelly!
That was the wrong button, and an ESPN Wisconsin prize pack is... Jerry in the Prairie.
Got our week started off right, Jerry did.
Bravo. Badgers Trivia Tuesday. Nicely done, Jerry. Perfect day. You win.
All right, Tausch, tell us more about Prize Picks and what you're picking.
All right, Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. Just put some entries in. I'm not going against Jesse. I'm not going against my buddies. I'm going strictly against Prize Picks' player projections. I was off last night. Daniel Jones did not have the game that we had hoped, or at least that I had hoped. But again, you got college football. You got LIV golf is going on this weekend. You got cricket. You got all these different sports. I really like A.J. Dillon, that new thing that Jesse just brought to my attention, 17.5 yards over his first five carries. Love that one more. You guys can pick 2 to 6 players. Again, if you go to 6, you get 25X on any entry. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Just download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up. And if you use the promo code WI, you receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. Again, prizepicks.com or the PrizePicks app.
We'll wrap up the week with Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Feeling good, like I should. When in dark, a walk around the neighborhood. Feeling blessed. Got that sunshine on my Sunday best. Yeah. Hey, every day.
can be a better day despite the challenge. All you got.
Time now for Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. We start with the inventor of Feel Good Friday, Mark Tauscher.
Yeah, you guys had mentioned a little earlier the photo that was of me on the sidelines that was painted at this fundraising opportunity up in Horicon. And it was
Shiocton.
Up in Shiocton. And what I loved about that, it's a small town, and it just kind of brought me back to where I grew up and the community aspect of being all together, working towards, you know, getting a chance to talk to the football team. But I just love when you see the families, the community, get a bunch of people volunteering their time for a night to kind of bring the entire community together. It just reminded me again, the power of sports, the power of community, and when everybody's working together to kind of build that up so that they can celebrate with each other. It was another good reminder, and that painting was fantastic that old boy did. So the whole night, I appreciated Justin inviting me up there to come, and it was a really fun night and a great reminder to me again about small towns, of how powerful sports are in unifying a community. Is a great reminder for me, and it's anytime you can help support your local community stuff sports-wise, it's a great way to bring a community together, and that was a great time up in Shiocton.
Jesse, what do you got?
Connor Asijan of the Wisconsin men's basketball team, he tweeted during the summer one day, I want to host the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. How do we get this done? Well, on October 1st, and you can hear some of the commercials on ESPN Madison helping promote it, Connor Asijan is hosting a 3-on-3 basketball tournament at Middleton High School. It is on, again, Sunday, October 1st. Proceeds benefiting the Derek Gray Foundation. Derek Gray, a former basketball player at Madison La Follette High School in UW-Whitewater, passed away unexpectedly last year. So a foundation established in his name, including scholarships, money, all the proceeds go toward that. Connor Asijan just tweeted out one day in the summer, I want to host a 3-on-3 tournament. How do we get it done? He's partnered with Brand Tech and all these great causes to get it done. So you can check it out. And if you want to play in it, you can register at brandtech.com, and you can find the link there, as well as from Connor Asijan's social media platforms.
All right. For me, the University of Wisconsin inducted a host of former athletes into their Athletic Hall of Fame. And there were some headline names, right? J.J. Watt. Jack Waite, who was a great tennis player during my time there. LaTanya Sims, who I covered on the UW women's basketball team. Denny Hellwig, who you experienced as an athletic trainer. The Goodman brothers. Dwayne Dirksen, who I covered as a hockey player, as a goalie. And our buddy Monte Ball was inducted. But there was one special induction that was great for me to see, and that was Bob Teague. And you may think, who is Bob Teague? That's because Bob Teague took way too long to be honored. And one of my greatest mentors is Professor James Hoyt from the Journalism School. And he and my longtime friend, Andy Baggett from the State Journal, who writes for UWBadgers.com these days, made sure that Bob Teague and his story was told. He was one of the first Black athletes to earn regular playing time on the UW football team. He is a trailblazer in Wisconsin football history, and he had not been inducted. He was one of the best running backs they had of that era, and then he went on to a fantastic career, as I smile, in journalism. So he was inducted posthumously. His son was there for the induction, but congratulations to his family and to Professor Hoyt and Andy Baggett for righting a historical wrong with this induction. So Bob Teague, a very deserving Badgers Hall of Famer. All right, that's it for us today. Packers and Saints on Sunday. Badgers and Boilermakers tonight. You can hear Tausch on the Varsity app and listen to him and Matt LaPay on the call of Badgers Boilermakers.
What a weekend.
I'll be syncing them up with the TV. You know how I roll. That's it for us today. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Thanks to Rob Domofsky for joining us earlier from his Seafoam room. And thanks to you for your support of the show. Have a great weekend. Take care. Be good.